This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bruce Boucher is the director of the University of Virginia Museum, online at virginia.edu/artmuseum. It's a beautiful, beautiful website. Strongly recommend that you check it out. And we are here today to talk about what is essentially, Bruce, a beautiful new museum. Is that right?
That's right, Coy. We've had 4 months of thoroughgoing renovation. From top to bottom, we have new lighting, we have climate control throughout the building, and we have redesigned our galleries, including galleries in which we can teach as well as show works of art.
Yeah,
we have storage space on site.
It's totally new.
Virtually, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk first, though. Can we get a Bruce Boucher 101? Just where are you from? Because you were new to the job, relatively speaking.
That's right.
And new to Charlottesville. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a native of Birmingham, Alabama, and I studied at Harvard and then at Oxford, and then I finished my graduate work at the Courtauld Institute at the University of London, which is the Art History Institute there, and I specialized in Italian architecture and sculpture with an interest in Andrea Palladio, the architect who was in fact one of the great influences on Thomas Jefferson's architecture here at the university. So in a way, my early research on Palladio dovetails with being here in Mr. Jefferson's university and working in a beautiful Palladian building.
Yeah, yeah.
For a number of years, I lived in Europe and I taught at the University of London. And while I was doing that, I worked on exhibitions. But I was gradually drawn into the idea of changing careers and becoming a curator. And I did this gradually. I spent 2 years at the Victoria and Albert Museum in London, working on an exhibition for them between 2000 and 2002. And then I got a job at the Art Institute of Chicago, running a department on European sculpture, decorative arts, and ancient art. I enjoyed doing that. While I was there, I thought that it would be nice to, as a next step, to go to a university museum where I could combine both sides of my career, the teaching side and the curatorial side. So when this job came up last summer, I was very interested. That's the summer of 08. I applied, and I think the search committee was intrigued by me because I did have this architectural, historical component as well as interest in sculpture and decorative arts, so it seemed a very good match, certainly from my point of view. And I started March the 2nd and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Sounds like a perfect match. Bruce Boucher is the new director of the University of Virginia Museum, online at virginia.edu/artmuseum. I'm so fascinated by your expertise on Palladio, and its profound influence on Jefferson. Of course, he was also influenced by what he saw his 5 years in France as well, and his travels throughout Europe, you know, Holland and Germany and England, influenced him as well. But you can't discount the profound influence of Palladio's work. Who was Palladio? Why was his work specifically, you think, so had bore such influence on the budding architect that was Thomas Jefferson?
Well, that's a very good question. I think Palladio, through his book, The Four Books of Architecture, which he published towards the end of his life in 1570, articulated a vision of classical architecture which was deeper and more comprehensive than probably any other Renaissance architect. It was so saturated with a knowledge of the ancient world and ancient building types, particularly the classical orders, that it remained influential right the way down to the early 19th century. And it was only really the discovery of Greek architecture with the exploration of Athens and the publications of books on the Parthenon and other buildings in Greece that people began to understand that classical architecture didn't just mean Roman architecture. Now, Jefferson only spent, as you know, a brief time in Italy, never saw any of Palladio's buildings directly, never saw many of the ancient monuments. So he was looking at them basically through the spectacles of Palladio, as well as a few other reference books that he had. And I think he said proudly at one point that he had the first copy of Palladio's Four Books of Architecture in Virginia.
Wow.
So this was a treasure.
Do you find it interesting that he actually, when he went on that southern journey through France and the vineyards and along the coast there, he went briefly into northern Italy,
yeah,
but never really pursued the idea of going further into Italy to see, you know, any of these summer villas and these places that Palladio designed himself or any of the ruins. I've always found that sort of peculiar, that he never made more of an effort. You would think that he would really want to stand there and see it for himself.
I agree, and I think he felt probably frustrated, and like a lot of people of his time, the fact that he hadn't seen Rome was a kind of chip on his shoulder, maybe. You know, a sense of an English scholar of the time said anyone who hasn't been in Rome is conscious of a sense of inferiority vis-a-vis other people who had done the Grand Tour. He said, I think Jefferson said, he had a peep into Elysium by going to Turin and northern Italy, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, he didn't have the time. So the book, Palladio's book, was doubly important for him, as well were other architectural books. He had a great library, and when he was building the University of Virginia, which is along with Monticello his masterpiece, he had Palladio and also a French book by a man named Frère de Chambray, which had alternative versions of the classical orders. And what he wanted to do with the lawn, as you know, was to create a three-dimensional architectural treatise using all of the different orders in different scales from different sources so that students and faculty at the university could see them and study them and enjoy being in an ambience that was inspired by the antique.
Yeah, you're actually in a living book, basically. He brought Palladio's books to life there on the lawn, and students could stand before them. They didn't need the book. They could stand there and see, that's what it is. There it is. And the professor could point at the buildings and teach them just as they do today. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. And that was his idea. And so the idea of creating a rotunda was an imitation of the Pantheon in Rome, and he knew this basically through Palladio's measured drawings of the Pantheon, which were the only ones really that were accessible and remained the touchstone for studying that really key building in classical architecture. And so when Jefferson wanted to create a rotunda for classrooms and a library, he naturally went back to Palladio. And so therefore the great capstone of the lawn is the rotunda, which is, you know, both classical but also very much classicism filtered through Palladio.
Yeah. We're talking with Bruce Boucher. He's the new director of the University of Virginia Museum, online at virginia.edu/artmuseum. What's the history of that building? It was built in the 30s, right?
That's right. It was built by Edmund S. Campbell, who was the dean of architecture at the time, and it was opened in 1935. And Campbell was the first curator of it. And for a long time, it had a very close relationship with the School of Architecture. This was before art history really developed as an independent entity. And for a number of years, it was actually taken over by the A school, the architecture school, for classrooms. And then it was refounded in 1970s by David LaWall, who was one of my predecessors, who became the first director, per se. And David LaWall and his successors have built upon the original nucleus, which was the university's collection of art, by adding paintings, sculptures. We have a great collection of prints and drawings, very important collection of Native American art, which was given by Nancy Astor in the 1930s, which has come to us. Navajo rugs, a very small but select pre-Columbian collection, very good African art. In many ways, I think our non-Western collections are better than our Western collections.
Interesting. Wow. So the renovation that the museum just underwent, 5 months, $2.5 million, what needed to be fixed? And then tell us what has been done and why, in many ways, this is a new facility.
Well, what needed to be fixed was, I think, an accumulation of postponed renovations. And when I first came in November of last year, for example, the main gallery on the first floor didn't have climate control, so that if you had a large number of people coming in, there'd be a spike in the temperature and in the humidity. And what is not good for works of art is to have constant spikes and, you know, changes in their ambience. So one of the things we had to tackle was introducing climate control throughout the building. Also, the lighting that we had was really ossified. It was 30 years old, and in some cases, you couldn't spotlight the works of art. You had to take the works of art to where the spotlights were. So, you know, this required, you know, a major change, you know, going in new wiring, new lighting. We had, of course, asbestos abatement, and, of course, putting in what they call floating ceilings, which contains the ducts for the air conditioning. All of this and changing the color scheme, and in some cases completely redoing the walls and the ceiling of the galleries.
Wow. So we're talking with Bruce Boucher of UVA's museum. So the new improvements, what does that make possible? We'll get to, now that we have climate control, we could, I would imagine we'd be able to get some pretty impressive traveling exhibits that we didn't have access to before.
That's precisely it. We were in a position where museums, before they lend to you, will ask you for your facility report. And, you know, if we had to write back, no, we don't have climate control everywhere, in many cases they wouldn't lend, you know, because obviously they wouldn't want to subject their works of art to fluctuations in temperature, things like that. So with climate control, with the lighting, with the new design of these galleries, we can not only improve our game, but we can also borrow works of art which heretofore we wouldn't have been able to have. And also we have one of the novelties is we've turned a couple of our galleries into teaching areas so that they have tables where we can have classrooms and people can come and look at prints and drawings and have classes there. People can come from January to a new object study gallery and they can look at a cross section of our 12,000 objects in the collection. And, you know, if they want to look at Indian stupas, they can look at those. If they want to look at Navajo rugs, if they want to look at Greek pottery, Roman glass, we can get that out and for teaching or for the, you know, specialists who want to come.
Yeah, that's exciting. What's the vision for the future? I mean, besides the new teaching facilities, new traveling exhibits that we didn't have before, what's your vision for the museum?
Well, my vision is one that is shared by the staff of the museum and also by Elizabeth Turner, who is the vice provost for the arts and the spokesperson for the arts in the university, who really instigated this thoroughgoing renovation. We all feel that there is space behind the Bailey Building for an extension, and we could, in the space available, create a five-story structure, two stories underground, which would give us 80% more space, 64% more gallery space, a new K through 12 classroom, offices, meeting rooms, on-site conservation lab, and catering kitchen. So it would allow us to have even more ambitious exhibitions to show even more of our works and create a kind of square footage that would bring the University of Virginia Art Museum up to comparable levels of museums at other universities with which we'd like to compare ourselves.
Bruce Boucher is the director of the University of Virginia's Art Museum, which has just undergone a huge, impressive five-month, $2.5 million renovation. Now, the exhibits that are in there now to celebrate this new work and this new facility in so many ways. One has to do with Poe, and the other big one has to do with the work we were just talking about, Mr. Jefferson's designs for his university. Tell us about these.
Well, I think it's fitting that we would reopen with an exhibition on the genesis of Jefferson's designs for the university, for the lawn. And what we've been able to do is we've been able to bring together drawings from the university's collection, from other collections across the country, by Jefferson and the architects who worked with him on the lawn. We've been able to bring in paintings of people who, you know, worked with him, like John Cabell, who was very important in getting the legislature to approve the university. And we had a professional designer who came to advise us on how to turn an architectural exhibition into something that was dynamic. And what he did was that in the center of the exhibition, we have at the far end a large photograph, beautiful photograph by Bill Sublette of the Rotunda. And then in front of it, we have drawings that refer to each of the 10 pavilions, arranged according to the numbers of the pavilions, so that as you stand, you see this perspective with the drawings your left and right, and then all focusing on the rotunda. And the lighting of this, of course, you know, without the new lighting, we could never have entertained something like this.
Bruce, do you have a favorite pavilion? I'm just curious. Do you have one that you really...
Well, I like pavilion number 9, because that one was the one that Edmund Campbell used as the inspiration for the facade of our building.
Yeah.
But what I think is great is...
Isn't that the one that he picked up when he was in France? He saw that design somewhere?
Yeah, it's based upon a design by Nicolas Ledoux, but yet, at the same time, the Ionic capitals he uses are straight out of Palladio. So it's this wonderful eclectic mixture that Jefferson pulls off. It all seems to work.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I can't wait to get over there and see it. The University of Virginia Museum is open again and ready for your visit. And now we have the parking couldn't be more convenient now with that new bill.
The Culbreth.
The new parking garage just down the hill.
Yes.
That's a wonderful facility as well. Bruce Boucher, the director of the University of Virginia Museum. Check out the website online at virginia.edu/artmuseum. It's great to meet you. Welcome to Charlottesville.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed the conversation.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.